And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day. Robbie, not feeling great today, so I'm stepping in, and we'll see if I can make it 6 hours. Should be fun.
That's right. Yeah. Wait a minute. Is that right?
No, five.
5 hours.
3 and 2.
Oh, yeah, five.
That's math,
right.
Is hard. It's
that's
early.
Right. That's right. I changed everything. My bad.
You're going to jump in and just take over the first hour of Caroline Willing Demons?
I might.
Too, huh?
Or I'll just, you know, tell Stillman to come in at 3. So who knows? Maybe we'll just do
there
that.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you cut down Stillman's time, man? Huh? Yeah. Huh?
I'm still, like, I don't know if he would have enough time to get all his bad takes in.
No, so. He wants six hours, I've heard.
He would do 8, probably.
We should do, like, a marathon one day and just see if
Jared
can do the entire day.
Michelle's like, no. No,
nope.
We shouldn't.
Like, no,
you can
one
produce
else.
It, Joe. You can produce it.
I would,
the marathon.
Yeah. Well, if I could produce, I would volunteer. But, like, no one talked to him either. Like, just his voice the entire day. You know what I mean?
We can ask him at 7 a.m.
I know. Well, you know, usually we don't have breaking news right at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But we actually do. A lot of people reporting, Dove Clayman was the first to put it out, but the Titans have made it official that in 2023 they're going back to London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So, doesn't say the opponent yet, but the Titans – will play in London next year.
There you go.
Chiefs will play in Germany. He had a couple more teams that will be playing overseas. Bills will have a game in London in 23, and of course the Jags will play in London in 2023.
Did Dove Clyman actually scoop Jimmy White? I mean, Jimmy posted it right at 6 a.m., which had to have been the time of embargo.
Yeah, I guess he scooped him. I don't know.
Man, I need to look at the timestamps of that. I'm going to go with Jimmy on this one. But regardless, that's the first – so that'll be the first in 5
Yeah, Vrabel's first year.
Yeah, that's right. First year against
the
Chargers.
They played the Chargers, yeah. And he went for 2, went for the win, and
that's right. That's right. He did.
Which I still agree with that call. Jared does not, but I still agree with it. I was fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was okay. I mean, you always do that if you feel like you just – Like if you are just overmatched, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you do it. Or if you feel like you have one play that's like you've been holding your back pocket, it's like this is going to work. The play, I'm trying to remember. Did Mario just kind of run around and throw it incomplete? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's the thing. Like the play was like, but. Yeah,
I mean, that was honestly, that was one of the first times that I can remember screaming, why aren't you giving the ball to Derek? Because that just would have made so much sense. Just let Derek have it at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not too many people run. I mean, that happens sometimes. That's the thing. Derek still hadn't become Derek yet.
Yeah, know? That's true. That's actually true.
At that point, it was like, I mean, shoot. Was that before the trading deadline?
Yeah.
So that was
I think so.
They were still moving into the situation where it was like, well, Derek's going to have to be moved. And then, you know,
way back
he
when.
Gets like 1,000 yards in the last 4 games of the season, and here we are.
Goes and has a conversation with Eddie George and turns into Eddie George, basically, is what happened. But yeah, so the Titans will play in London in 2023. Do you look at that in your head and go, oh, well, I guess I got to start looking into that. I got to start planning, you know, because I would assume you would go to that.
I don't know. I don't know if I would or not, actually. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a conversation for later, but
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
See, I'm immediately thinking because I was Ricky just texted me. He's like, "You've been wanting to go to London." Like, that's on my list.
There
I've
you
never
go.
Been.
So you
and there's a WWE event that's there this summer that I thought about. Like, would be
you
fun
could
to
just
go
stay,
to.
Man.
I know. Well, it'd be
just live there
no,
for
because
a
this station remotely. Would not. We would not survive without
you,
Chase.
Crumble.
Zoom them in every day. Be fine.
Oh, no. But somebody has to be here to control Jared.
That's true.
I couldn't do that from across the pond.
Yeah, sometimes you actually have to just grab him and just throw him up against a wall. Yeah.
Do you realize
the things we don't see?
Do you realize the things coming out of your mouth? So there you go. But and we'll talk to Jared coming up in about an hour. So we'll get his thoughts on London because he did go last time. I remember that. Yesterday, Jeff Fisher was on Caroline Willie and D-Mace to talk about Rand Carthon. They worked together in St. Louis and then L.A. before Jeff was let go there. And I'm listening to the interview, Joe, and I kind of had an inkling because, you know, I grew up with Jeff Fisher. I mean, I, you know, remember, you know, you think about Mike Vrabel's press conferences. Jeff Fisher's press conferences were the polar opposite because Jeff always was in control, but Jeff would definitely give you a little bit more so he could control the narrative. And so when Jeff wants you to know something, there's a reason that he wants you to know it. And so I'm listening to him talk about this, and I'm kind of thinking, you know, he had some input. He might have – somebody might have made a phone call, or he made a phone call, or, you know, no different than when Floyd called Underwood about John Robinson. So Caroline actually asked the question at the end of the interview, and I couldn't help but have the same reaction as Willie and D-Mace.
Did anyone from the Titans reach out to you about Ran, or did you reach out to the Titans, given your history and the fact that you are a Titan, about your experience with Ran Carthon?
I can't answer that question.
Dang it.
Take your night ass.
That answers the question right there. But then my follow-up to that, Joe, is that a good thing? Do you, you know, you look at Jeff Fisher, what he did for this organization, obviously didn't work out in L.A., but he was here a long time, moved the team from Houston, had a lot of success alongside Floyd Reese. I do think it's a good thing that you lean on a guy that had so much spent so much time in the NFL and had so much success and worked alongside this guy.
Yeah, to me, when you reach out to people who in situations like this, what I would want is someone who would be willing to tell you the bad stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
Like what I would want is someone who'd be like, "All right, tell me, what's the deal with this guy?" You know, you're like, "Really? Like, what's the deal?" So I feel like when you talk about a long-standing relationship Jeff Fisher's had with some people, you know, start with ownership. And I don't know exactly like Jeff Fisher, Amy Adams Strunk necessarily, but I mean, obviously knew their family for a long, long time, worked for that family for a long, long time. So, yeah, I think that's absolutely a good thing. He's a natural – again, you want people who aren't just going to be like, oh, this is a bad – there's nothing – you know, like, okay, but anything? Is there anything that we should be concerned about? Because you want to try to uncover every rock when you're making a hire of this importance.
Yeah, and I mean, look, publicly he's gonna say all the good things and
exactly.
You know, really, you know, pump him up. But I agree with you. I mean, I know now in this role, you know, when I'm vetting somebody, I mean, I want the dirty. Like I want, what do I need to look out for? Where are the skeletons at? You know? And so I'm sure he's at that point where he has that relationship. I mean, I think, you know, Jeff's done the USFL stuff and, you know, you kind of hear his name pop up every now and then, but I think he's maybe accepted the fact that he's not going to be on an NFL sideline again. And so you've kind of seen what that next chapter looks like for him. He goes in the Ring of Honor. He has been around. He's still in Nashville. So I would assume that, you know, as Amy grows in this role as controlling owner, she does need to have people in the know she can lean on. And, you know, I believe Floyd was one of those people. Obviously, he's not here anymore. And so why not lean on somebody like Jeff?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that's the thing, too, is with a – I think I heard you guys talking about this. You know, the fraternity of the NFL. Yeah, heard you guys talk about this yesterday. I mean, it's like you're gonna automatically have a whole bunch of people to reach out to who you know pretty well, who know someone. You know, as long as you're not going totally out of left field to pull a candidate for a particular job, right? But you know, the more you can trust a person, obviously, the better. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it is interesting with Jeff Fisher, just on him. So what is he now? So he's 64. Is he so and he is still – he's doing the head coach GM thing?
I don't know. He did last year. I don't know if he's still doing it this year or not.
Yeah. For
they weren't very good.
My favorite sports team of all time, by the
way. Michigan Panthers.
Oh, you better believe it.
Man. Oh, yeah. Field Yates reports it is going to be Bills Titans at Tottenham Hotspur in London.
Okay, Bills Titans, that's a pretty good game.
The Titans also posted a graphic with Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and Byard for London 2023.
Yeah.
Ooh. Are you going to just read everything into that?
I am. I am going to.
Yeah, well, believe me, just, you know, you bring that up, I think back to the playoff game when they beat the Chiefs, and they had all this, that is our coach, Mike Mularkey, like the social media put up all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's our coach, everybody. You stay away from him. And I was like, the Titans have moved on from Mike Mullery. Things change quickly.
Yep.
In this business.
Yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you. I think the graphic department is, I don't know if they're told much.
Rand came in and said, hey, you guys can put that up. We're good. We're keeping them. We're going.
Yeah, but look, I think that at least two of those three will be back. Let's put it that way.
Oh, that's an interesting who's the one who won't be?
I honestly think all three will be, but okay. I'm just saying that if you had to.
So the QB is the one that you're less certain
I think
about.
He's back.
Okay, so you're saying Henry is the one.
I would say of those three, Henry probably would be the most likely.
Okay. That's possible.
But I think all three are gonna be back, if I'm being honest. So Bills Titans in London in 2023. We'll see. Obviously have a lot of time to talk about that. But coming up next, the GM-coach relationship is obviously going to be extremely important. How much are we going to see a difference publicly between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel that we didn't see with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel? We'll discuss that next. It's Robbie and Rex Road. Chase in for Robbie today here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Well, he's got all kinds of experience, and to be able to, come from the 49er organization, the success that they've had, he saw that come together. He had a hand in that. His strengths are his communication skills and his work ethic. I'll say this to you guys, all right? Technology has changed this game. Everybody's got a report on a player. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And Rand is one of those guys that's going to watch tape. He's going to watch a player. He has that unique ability to describe a player to you. You shut your eyes and listen to him talk, and you'll know exactly the player at the end of the description.
That's Jeff Fisher, former Titans head coach, talking about Rand Carthon, the new Titans general manager. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today, alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. You can hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I do want to clarify something. The Titans announced they'll play in London this year. It's not Bills Titans. Field Yates is saying the Bills and the Titans their games will be at Tottenham Hotspur, but not.
Not against each other.
Yeah, so we don't know the matchup yet, I guess.
So definitely not against each other. It's two separate games.
That's what Twitter is being confusing at 6 in the morning. But, okay. Yes, that's kind of what I gather. But
come on, Field.
I know.
Come on,
the tweet is misleading.
It is a little misleading, but that's okay. But that was Jeff Fisher talking about Rand Carthon, who he worked with the Rams in both St. Louis and Los Angeles. And, you know, Amy Adams Strunk has used this word collaboration quite a bit when she has talked about, she did the piece with Jim Wyatt, I think it was in there 17 times, collaboration, that both report to her. There's no Vrabel reporting to the GM. I guess essentially that's what it was with Robinson, that he reported to him, but I felt like there was collaboration there.
There was collaboration, but a clear final say.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's going to be, I guess, Amy will have the final say. But,
But you can't.
I want to see her draft board on linebackers, but, you know,
yeah,
that's fine.
Like you can't, yeah, I don't buy it. So Vrabel said that at the time in the interim situation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to. I mean, it's going to be them. Like, they're not going to be going to Amy all the time on personnel.
I would hope not. And honestly, like, don't insult our intelligence by hiding behind that. I mean, I think sometimes organizations want to hide behind, well, the owner has the final say because they just don't want to tell you. And it's like, come up with something better because we're smarter than that. Like, you know, nothing, and I don't mean that against Amy Adams Strunk. It's not her job to evaluate players. So tell me that, you know, yeah, if Rand, yes, you know, tomorrow gets asked about it, yeah, Mike and I will agree on that.
Yeah.
That will be what we do.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. I have no idea how they'll answer it. It'll be asked in a number of different ways. But if you look at even some of these franchises who it's pretty clearly reported. It's still not like not too many instances where you can find people on the record saying, yes, this is how it works. Sean McVay actually has power over Les Snead to say, you know, this is what we're going to do. Or Pete Carroll, because those are two that were pretty much accepted as coach final say teams. You know, well, I don't think the Titans are going to confirm anything tomorrow.
No, and what's funny is yesterday, and if you missed Jeff Fisher, thegamenashville.com, they have it, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. It's a great interview. Willie asked him, and I thought Willie was – I knew where Willie was going, but he was asking it in a respectful way of – it's well documented, the eventual power struggle between Jeff and Floyd, and Jeff won. And, you know, the coach having the final say or the coach having more say. Obviously, we're seeing a bit of a power shift that Mike is going to have more input and more say on things. And what that dynamic is like. Jeff was very careful in how he answered that because of how it was with him. But you think about the Rams. I mean, Jeff had the final say on personnel with the Rams and, you know, it ultimately didn't work out for him. I mean, but it was kind of the same situation. And I have gotten the vibe, and you're around Vrabel more, but I've gotten the vibe as this has gone on, because initially I was on the, yeah, this was a power struggle. Vrabel won. He's going to be the GM. They may bring somebody in, but he's going to have the final say. I kind of have started getting the vibe that he doesn't want all that. Like, he wants say, but, like, he doesn't necessarily need to be 100% in control, and he's cool with having, you know, somebody that's going to have more input and be more of a collaboration.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of I think, exaggeration when you talk about this topic. I think sometimes with fans, I know, like, I did, like, a mailbag this week, and someone was like, you know, is the new GM just going to be Vrabel's puppet? It's like my one of my answers back was like, why would Vrabel want that? You know, like, the point here is to win, and even if you think you're the smartest person there, you think that you have the best instincts on players, and I mean, I've never heard Vrabel say that, but I think Vrabel's confident in himself. Even if that's the case, don't you want a really good? I mean, you need a really good, scouting department, GM. And to me, I think you should want checks and balances. And if you have a good relationship, an ability to, at times, like Rand Carthon, you and Rand Carthon, which I got to get that right. I got to get that right. You're going back and forth on a player, and Rand and his staff are like, no, Mike, like, this is the way to go. And they fight for it, and you know, it's like, okay, all right, let's go with you guys. I mean, that should happen. As long as it's not like whatever it is, whatever the conversation is, the work done, because, you know, scouts fight for guys. Individual scouts fight for guys. Like, Khalif Raymond with the Tennessee Titans only happened, and I don't know who it was, but Ryan Cowan told me this, like, there was a particular scout who was like, you're wrong. Look at him again, and like, come on, this guy can't play.
Right.
And eventually, they're like, okay, he's all over us. And what happened? The guy became – there was an example of a scout, like, winning because he would not stop. He was persistent. And that's how it should be. It should be – so like, I don't feel like Vrabel's going to be like, whatever you guys do, okay, here's what we're doing, you know? If that's the case, I don't think it's going to go well. I think it has to be an actual, well, collaboration.
Yeah, it absolutely has to be. And, you know, I think publicly we're not going to see necessarily a difference in what we saw with Vray Rob and whatever we're going to, whatever the nickname is going to be.
Vray Ran.
Shout out
to Megan.
That could work. I could go with that. I mean, I'm not big on nicknames for stuff. I think we kind of get carried away with nicknames, but
we don't have enough, Chase.
No.
We need to do it
like
more often.
Like, it's the worst. Michelle heard me rant on this yesterday. It's the worst in hockey. Like, we got a name, a line, like, it's successful. Oh, it needs a nickname. No, it doesn't.
Well, the good thing with this year is that the lines change every three games, so there's no way to.
Well, that's true. And maybe that's John Hines' plan, that he's like, I'm tired of these stupid nicknames, so I'm going to keep changing them.
That could be it.
He's just being collaborative.
Yeah. Well done. But the other part of this is, and Fisher pointed this out yesterday too, Mike Vrabel is going to be aware and have film and know about you know, the guys that are going to be on the draft board and definitely the first round, probably the second round, maybe the third. But when you start getting into day three and on down the line, as he said, because of time, he doesn't have time to do all that. That's why you have a scouting staff. And so there's going to be players that he's not going to be as familiar with, that's where somebody like Rand Carthon, and that's what he said that he did with them, that was he was really good at, that a player that he might not have been as familiar with, he can say, no, Jeff, this is why we want this guy, and this is what he can do. Here's his strengths. Here's his weaknesses. And that's what you need in player personnel and then now the GM.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the interesting thing with that is, of course, Rand now also is going to be transitioning to he's more focused on the top end of the draft. And
yeah.
It's the people under him who have to do for him what he has done for John Lynch. And that's a big part of why Rand Carthon and Adam Peters have been so coveted, is because the late draft stuff for the 49ers has been ridiculously good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, George Kittle was part of Purdy. I mean, we're seeing
a bunch of defensive starters right now.
I saw Richie James was
Juwan
on that
Jennings.
List. Juwan, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a couple of guys that we're familiar with. I want to continue that discussion, though, on the draft evaluation with Rand Carthon and get your thoughts on something in particular. We'll do that coming up next. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. It's Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. We're broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Chase McCabe, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic. Here with you, Jared Stillman, going to join us at the top of the next hour. Did you win yesterday?
I did.
Okay, so he'll be pissy.
Yeah, you never know.
Or I guess he always is.
I don't know if he's pissy. He's just sort of
Jared.
Yeah, it's its own Jarity. It's its own adjective Jarity. That I don't really know what
got
it
his
means.
Own, got his own thing. That is for sure. So we'll look forward to talking to him. Titans playing in London. All these things come that are happening. But my question for you when it comes to Rand Carthon and drafting, and, you know, at first, like, I was reading stuff on him, and it was like he's been in pro personnel and was more on that side. And so was there a concern about him drafting, you know, drafting and evaluating prospects? And then you listen to other people that have worked with him, like Jeff Fisher, and you feel much better about that, you know, okay, he knows what he's doing. He's been a part of these drafts. And like you said, you know, getting some of the talent in the later rounds. But one thing we're going to see this year is that process has started. So he's going to work with a lot of J-Rob's people and the scouts and everything that he had in place. And then, like we see after the draft, he'll make changes and bring his own people in. But do you think we're gonna learn any more about this current scouting staff of – okay, let's say they go through this draft and they hit this draft. I mean, it's good. Obviously, he and Mike are having final say on this, but is that going to tell us anything more about J-Rob and his tenure?
I think that's fair. Look, I'll stick with what I've been saying. Like, if you look at the 21 draft and there's still – or I'm sorry, the 22 draft, still a lot to figure out from that draft, but – I mean, early indications are, other than, you know, the trade of A.J. Brown on draft night, but Treylon Burks still, I think, absolutely has a chance to be a good player in this league. I like Roger McCreary a lot.
I do too.
He took his lumps, but he's a good player. I mean, I think this last draft has a chance to be pretty good. And if that's the case, then to me, you look at the entire picture of John Robinson and the two drafts affected by COVID – stand out, right?
Yep.
Again, I'll say it, as I've said it a million times, I'm not excusing that because other teams did just fine. But if that's the case, then doesn't that kind of tell you that they had a pretty good system going? It got disrupted. They didn't handle it well enough. And again, A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown. It was a devastating mistake.
Well, that move got him fired. I mean, that's ultimately what got him fired.
It's got to be top of the list. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he survives the 20 draft and the 21 draft with, you know, with the Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley mm-hmm. now, he survives that if he doesn't trade A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I also think that you know, it's easy to forget how things looked like at the beginning of camp, but at the beginning of camp, there was a lot of indication that both Dylan Raidens and Caleb Farley are going to be starters for this team, in which case you salvage a lot of 21 draft. And then by the time he did get fired, it was like, oh, the 21 draft is a freaking disaster too.
Yeah.
So it compounds the A.J. Brown situation, right? But and, I mean, Bud Dupree, it's a lot of money for very, very little.
The bright spot of the 20 draft is Fulton, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really
– Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's really about it. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, will Caleb Farley and Dylan Raidens be on this team next year?
Yeah, that is – I mean, I would feel better about Farley. I mean, you know, Raidens, who knows? I mean, Raidens isn't going to be a factor next year.
No.
So
he's not fighting for a starting spot.
No, not at all. I mean, obviously they need everything. They need depth too if they feel good about him. But there's also a new O-line coach coming in. But regardless, to your question, yeah, I think, like you said, obviously they have to lean on these guys, on the staff. And if they have a good draft, certainly the credit will go to the new partnership at the top, right? But yeah. I think John Robinson kept people when he came in, and I think a lot of these people are absolutely right now working for their jobs here, and I'd say a fair amount of them will still be here.
Yeah, I mean, I would think. You know, I think the big change that J-Rob made was like the at the top, you know, like his director of scouting is the change he made. But
you mean when he brought in Cowden at the,
Wasn't Cowden –
Cowden was with the Panthers.
Right.
And he brought him over. Yeah. And Carthen will have his people, of course, and through, I'm sure, in scouting too. He has some people I'm sure he's like, you are coming with me. But there's some jobs that can be retained. And, again, I think if you look at the whole picture, I don't think that's a terrible idea. Some of these people, first of all, have worked with Vrabel, right? Mm-hmm. Worked with you know, a lot of other people who have been here for years. And that's the thing, you know, Vrabel, I'm sure, probably has a feel also for like, okay, person A, B, C, like, they should be here, like, you know.
Yeah.
And based on their input, their interactions, the actual specifics of players that they've, you know, fought for or, you know, have uncovered or whatever. I mean, they've had to uncover a whole bunch. The pro personnel side of this has been pretty spectacular. If you think about it, Vrabel gets the credit for the coaching for sure, and it's good on them plugging them in. But the uncovering of guys around the league when they've had to, they had to do it so much in the last 2 years, it's been pretty impressive, especially defensively.
Well, and look, I mean, if you believe Jared, you know, things will be easy on the scouting staff this year because they're just going to sign Brady and Gronk and they'll be fine. So
I didn't know the Gronk, too.
Well, I mean, you got to factor that in. I mean, he's telling people that he's bored and, you know, he's in good shape. So, I mean, I'm sure, you know, and he's in Nashville quite a bit. I've heard he,
is that right?
He's been spotted at a local establishment on a Montgomery in a time or two. So
okay.
Also at yoga classes.
And yoga classes. So, I mean, I would think.
Does he live here?
I don't know if he lives here, but
he's
know
he's doing yoga here.
Yeah, maybe he does have a
place. Comes into town to do yoga?
My friend's mom was in a yoga class in Nashville, and she was like, you guys are never going to guess who was in my yoga class. And my best friend was like, who, mom? And she just sent a gif of Gronk. She was like, there's no way. She's like, he was literally in my yoga class.
His of all the random people that follow me on Twitter, it's Gronk's brother. He follows me on Twitter.
How long has he followed you?
Like years.
Okay, I was going to say, if it was recent, then...
No, it's not recent. It's been years. Okay, right. It's been years. Interesting. But what would concern you more, Gronk in Nashville or Gronk in Vegas?
Ooh. Well, that's a good question. Maybe Gronk's... I mean, if he's doing yoga, maybe he's transitioning to another phase of his life where he doesn't have to do like the...
I don't know. He could try wrestling again.
The love
he did that
cruises
for a while.
Or whatever he's doing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the wrestling, yeah. I will say, you know, because I mean, I'm seriously on the Brady thing. I'm like, somebody's going to sign up for Brady, and then they're going to get like, oh, he's 46, Brady, and the Titans would be a good – I mean, I feel like the Titans have had a lot of that over the years.
Oh, yeah, the all-name team. I mean, you bring in the GOAT of the all-name team.
Yeah, but Actually, like if Gronk – seriously, if Gronk wanted to be back and was part of it, that's sweet.
I mean,
that
I would –
sweetens the deal a little
sure.
bit. I still think, you know, I still think the guy can play.
Like, think about Gronk and Chigakonkwo. There's your two tight ends. I mean, even at this point, I would
– Gronkwo.
Yeah. That was so bad.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Boo.
6 a.m.
Boo.
You can do anything you want in the 6 a.m. hour, Chase.
But I agree with you, and that's my – I said this to Michelle the other day on our show, 9 to 11 weekdays, 1-5 the game, that I believe I don't want to do it because he's going to hit the wall eventually, and I don't want to be the team that he's on where he hits the wall. I mean, he looks like he hit one the other night against Dallas. I mean, he looked really bad.
He hasn't looked good this year. A lot. Yeah. His numbers,
even though his numbers are misleading.
He threw it 700 times. They were behind a lot of games. Soft zone coverage. I'm not saying he's lost it. He at times he's had some spectacular performances this year, some of those comebacks, to somehow get a bad team in the playoffs. See, the thing is, though, you're right. You don't want to be the team. But what if you're the team that, again, like if you actually had a shot at him and then you go watch him, like, light up the world with a Davante Adams, you know?
Right. But Vegas makes – here's the other thing that I think does matter. Vegas makes a ton of sense for him because it's an indoor stadium, which at his age I think does matter. It's Josh McDaniels, and so they're gonna run it back just like they did on two separate occasions in New England, and so he would be able to do, you know, whatever he wants. Now I know Vrabel's here, but Vrabel was his teammate. Vrabel was never a coach with him, and the coach player dynamic is much different than the player player dynamic, and everybody thinks, oh, it's gonna work. It would be great. We don't know that. We have no idea. I mean, we know what Vrabel can be as a coach to us. I mean, I know it's Brady, but, like, Tom dealt with that a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'd be fascinating. I'd sign up for it just to watch it because it would be fascinating. Yeah. But, yeah, just because people are buddies doesn't mean something is going to work like that.
It doesn't mean you need to work together.
And, again, the biggest part of all of that to me is Tom Brady, if he's going to come back, is going to be very selective. And if you're him looking at – take the Vrabel thing out of it. Yeah, they can still hang out and whatever they want. Looking at this roster and everything, they don't know who their OC is. But, like, looking at this roster, how do you feel great about that right now? Offensive roster.
No. I mean, if I'm Brady and I look at this offensive line, I'm going, no.
Yeah, why are you signing up for that?
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to change it. I get it, and I know Dennis has texted this angrily before, and you're right. They're going to change it, but you don't know how or if they're going to do it effectively. You just know it's bad right now.
Right, and the Raiders isn't very good either. So, well, I mean, they obviously got to do things, but – we'll see. You bring up the offensive coordinator. We'll discuss a little bit of that coming up next. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game. I just forgot the name of the show. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
It's 6 a.m. hour. You're fine.
I almost said Chase, Willie, and D. Mace. I mean, I'm just Chase and Michelle, Robbie and Rex Road now. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. How does the T-Swift make you feel? Do you like the T-Swift?
I do.
Okay.
Joe's a Swifty, as his daughter would call him.
Yeah, my daughter is a total Swifty. You know, Katie and Caroline went to the T-Swift concert at Nissan was there, and didn't take me, and I was upset. So
I'm
I want to go next time. Well, I hope I'm going. I don't have a ticket, and they're again trying to leave me behind, but I want to go.
I'm going.
Good.
I'm going with a group of friends that they were like, wait, you want to do this? I'm like, I've never seen her. I like Taylor Swift, so
she's
going to
be phenomenal in concert. Oh, yeah. I don't have a ticket yet either, but I will find myself there one of those days.
Have I told you where I'm sitting?
Yeah, Michelle? Joe's on the floor, I think. Or, I mean, Chase.
Yeah, I'm not just on the floor. I'm front row.
Whoa.
It's not a pit.
Nice. It's the pit. Yeah, I mean, it's. I was told by the people that bought the tickets, and with the price of the tickets, it better be good. It's front row, and which I replied with, I'm going to high five Taylor Swift.
Make sure you say hi for Robbie. You know,
I will.
Yeah.
I just hold up a sign that says Robbie Stanley says hi. That would be awesome. So we're sometime tomorrow the Titans will introduce Rand Carthon as their new general manager. But next on the list for Mike Vrabel is to find an offensive coordinator. Do you think by this time next week this team has an OC? Or do they already have it and he hadn't named Tim Kelly yet?
I don't know. I mean, he'd still be my favorite. I don't necessarily think that it's just an absolute, like the whole process has not been legit, you know, or that they're not considering people. I mean, like, I guess the question that I'd ask back is there anybody currently competing who they need
Sorry, time to get up.
Very disappointed you don't listen to our whole show in the 6 a.m. hour, Chase. Now I know.
Now we really can do whatever we want in the 6 a.m. hour, Joe.
Let the F-bombs fly. There we go.
Well, don't do that.
Well, yeah. No, don't worry. I get right to the edge of profanity and pull back. Is there anybody out there who, like, it's absolutely worth waiting for who's still in the playoffs? I mean,
if you listen,
obviously, you know, lateral moves would have to be approved by a team, you know. So, I mean, like, it's usually someone who's a quarterback coach with somebody or something like that, right?
Well, if you listen to Tim Hasselbeck the other day on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, he thinks Matt Nagy would be a really good fit here. And I don't necessarily disagree with that at all. But so what I said, and Michelle can back me up on this, what I said on our show is, you know, for a long time I was like, it's going to be Tim Kelly. He came in to be the passing game coordinator. He's Vrabel's buddy. That just makes sense. But then the more I kind of thought about it, I was like, I don't see them staying in the family for both GM and offensive coordinator. And I was convinced Ryan Cowden was going to be the GM. Once that didn't happen and they went outside for GM, that's when I was like, okay, well, does this mean they're more likely to stay in house for OC instead of, you know, or could they go outside for both? I think they should go outside for both. And, you know, even though Tim Kelly was only here a year, I guess you could kind of say that, all right, that's a little bit outside, but that's still Vrabel had a connection to him, and, you know, he's bringing in somebody he's comfortable with. I think Matt Nagy, while not a good head coach, he's been a good offensive coordinator. Right. He's worked with Andy Reid. Anybody out of the Andy Reid tree, I wouldn't say no to.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Tim Hasselbeck made a good point, you know, on one of our shows. Let's just call it this the Game All-Stars. We don't have to worry about show titles. About when you see someone like that go back, usually that's a good comment on the person, because there are some times when, like, for example, if Matt LaFleur got fired by the Packers, I don't think Vrabel would bring Matt LaFleur back here.
No.
That's just a wild guess that I would take.
No, because that was the, hey, you're a rookie head coach, here's your staff. That's what that felt like. That wasn't a you get to decide. I mean, because they interviewed Matt LaFleur to be the head coach.
Yes, exactly. So, so Matt Nagy going back there, I think, is a – and, yeah, it's like, yeah, if someone fails as a head coach, people get down on that person. But, again, you got to the point – that should not – that does not reflect on you as a – there's plenty of good coordinators, great coordinators, who have not been good head coaches in this league. I mean, Jim Schwartz is – I bet you is going to be a good coordinator for the Browns. He was a good coordinator here, the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had to be the freaking Lions head coach.
Yeah, I didn't think he was a – bad head coach.
He wasn't
just with the Lions.
No, he wasn't a bad head coach. No, I agree. But I mean, that should be separated. Like, whatever someone does as a head coach, when you're talking about, can you be a good coordinator? So I'm with you on that. Why were you guys so convinced? So you, Jared, Caroline, at least, were so convinced that it was gonna be Cowden.
I felt like Vrabel would have more input, and therefore Amy would just keep somebody that he knows and has worked with and is comfortable with, and that would be the collaboration. Even though Cowden is a J. Rob guy, I mean, I get that, but he's been here, and so
I thought he had
interim GM, and I thought it just made sense to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he had a legit chance, and yeah, I mean, you could make, again, same case we were talking about earlier. You can make the case for him to get it.
Yeah,
I mean, he's gonna be. I think he's gonna be a GM, you know, at some point somewhere. But yeah, I mean, like, I think if you go back to Amy's interview with Teresa Walker, I mean, she talked a lot about it. Made it sound to me like they really were going to look extensively for an outside voice, and they found one.
But here's the thing. Everything comes back to the family. Everything comes back to the Patriot family. And you can connect dots. Rand Carthon worked with Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta, and Thomas Dimitroff is from the family. So, you know, you can make phone calls and, you know, say, hey, well, you worked with this guy. Like, what do you think? I mean, Jared's told the stories about the combine and how there's the Patriot, you know, anybody that worked for the Patriots. And, like, I mean, I know Rand Carthon didn't, but he's got connections.
Right, yeah, the Parcells. Belichick.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, people. If you don't remember, Bill Parcells created Bill Belichick.
That's true. The tuna. That's true.
Right.
He sure did. So, I don't know. I'm curious on OC. You know, Eric Bieniemy is another one. I mean, I'd be interested in him. You know, he just – the only difference is I think Nagy's call plays. So, you know, bringing somebody in that has the experience there. But I don't know. I'm just curious if by this time next week we know, or if Vrabel's going to be Vrabel about it, and it's Tim Kelly all along. He's just not going to tell us until he feels like it.
Yeah, I don't know. And what's the urgency? The urgency was this job, right? I mean, you get the Senior Bowl coming up. A week from Monday, right?
Crazy.
I think a week from Monday. So you got to. I mean, there's not as much, of course, urgency when it comes to your OC. I mean, you could wait till after the Super Bowl and do that. So I don't know. That'll be interesting. Then there's some more questions to be asked of Vrabel tomorrow. So we're gonna get Vrabel. We're gonna get Rand Carthon. Are we gonna get Amy Adams Strong tomorrow?
You think we do get Vrabel tomorrow?
Oh, I would think so. Right?
I mean,
we were discussing this yesterday.
I don't know. Well, I mean, if you believe her collaboration thing, then I would say yeah.
I mean, I guess.
I assumed Vrabel and Carthon, and then Amy was a question, but you would hope she would be there.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess no with her. It'd be great if she was there.
So is Bert Nyhill introducing him?
No. I mean, the thing is, I don't know that anybody would necessarily introduce him. They could just sit at a table and take questions, right?
Nah, I think you got to have somebody introduce.
Yeah?
Steve Underwood introduced Robinson, I think. Or maybe Amy was there. I can't remember.
Yeah, I was. That was about a month before I got here.
Yeah, I can't remember who was. I'll go look. Or Jared will know. We'll talk to Jared. We'll ask
that's
Jared.
Right.
He's coming up next. Chase in for Robbie today. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.